Hi everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episodio 21. Hi Craig, how are you?
Hi Reza, I'm fine, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good to see you.
You too, always a pleasure. Let's start off with some good news. We heard on iTunes, from Jairo Restrepo, I think the name is pronounced.
Does it say where he's from? He sounds Brazilian.
Doesn't say.
Jairo.
Jairo, or maybe that's Jairo, I'm not quite sure. Jairo Restrepo. And I think it's a man's name, so I'll say he. He wrote, Enhorabuena. Esta sección. Me gustaría, si es posible, que hablaran un poco más despacio. De tal manera, para los principiantes, sería más cómodo.
I think he means in English, Reza, not
oh,
in Spanish.
Oh, okay. Una pregunta, he adds. ¿Yo puedo descargar los diálogos? ¿Can I?
Good question, Jairo. Unfortunately not. We have show notes. We have notas de episodio on the webpage, on the podcast webpage, which is inglespodcast.com. But you cannot download the full transcription of everything we say for the reasons we explained last episode. So we do have help. I write the examples. We have links. Tenemos enlaces en las notas de episodio. But we cannot, because of time restrictions, we cannot write every word of the podcast.
Just the show notes.
Just the show notes of each episode.
Let's get cracking with some grammatica, shall we?
Yes, why not? What grammar are you going to teach us this week, Reza?
I thought we would look at something which is, in my opinion, one of the very hardest grammar points in English.
Ooh, conditional sentences?
The future. I think the future is much harder than conditionals.
Why is the future hard in English? Why is it difficult, Reza?
Well, because there are so many ways of expressing it. Mm-hmm. We are not going to talk about every single way now because there wouldn't be enough time and our listeners would just be confused. It wouldn't be a good idea. It would be too much information. It would be information overload.
Because
sobrecarga, too much.
Sobrecarga, there's so many different ways to speak about the future in English.
Mm-hmm. And some ways seem exactly the same, but there are subtle differences between them. It's a complicated area. But let's cover the most important aspects.
Okay.
Well, let's begin by asking a few questions. Mm-hmm. Craig, are you going on holiday anytime soon?
Yes, I am. Hopefully, I'm going on holiday soon.
Where are you going to stay?
I have a very good friend who lives in Sydney, Australia.
Ah.
So I'm trying to save money, trying to put my euros in the bank so that I can go and see him. So I hope that I'm going to stay with him in Sydney.
When did you say? What month?
Sometime this summer. I'm not sure which month, but probably this summer, I hope.
Okay. So Craig there said he's going to stay with his friend in Sydney.
Let me say this. If I go to Australia, I'm going to stay with him because it's cheaper.
Ah, good reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your plan, right?
Yes.
His plan is to go to Australia and he's going to stay with his friend in Sydney. It's a plan. And that's why he uses going to. Going to is for future plans. Craig, if you do go in the summer, well, mm-hmm. when you say the summer, you mean the summer in Spain.
In Spain, yeah.
But of course, it won't be the summer in Australia. It'll be their winter.
Correct.
Because it's the opposite.
Yeah.
What will the weather be like, do you think, if you go?
I think it'll be cold because, as you said, it's usually the opposite in Australia to here. So I think it'll be, well, it will be winter, and I think it will be quite cold in Sydney.
So Craig's talking about the future weather, but of course nobody knows exactly what the weather will be like.
It's a prediction.
It's a prediction. So he's using the word will this time, not going to, because he has no direct evidence. It's merely a prediction of what the weather will be like. He thinks it will probably be cold because that time of the year is the winter in Australia. So a prediction with no hard, no concrete evidence is will. However, you can use going to also for predictions, but predictions with evidence predictions of things which are likely. Compare these two things, Craig. You think it probably will be cold when you're there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have no evidence for the moment. It's a long time until you go to Sydney. What about if we looked up into the sky right now and we saw a big black cloud? You might say, I think it's going to rain.
Because there's evidence, i.e. the cloud.
The cloud. You're making a prediction because you don't control the rain. It's not a plan. But the big black cloud suggests it's going to rain. So it's a prediction with evidence. And it's better to use going to if the prediction has evidence.
And what would you say, for example, if you saw a pregnant woman, a woman who has a very big stomach because she's pregnant?
I would say, well, I think she's going to have a baby.
She's going to have a baby.
That's my prediction, but the evidence is obvious. There's obviously evidence there. The big bump, the swollen part of her body. So, going to.
And what would you say if you saw a boy on, or a young man on a bicycle who was drunk, and he was riding the bicycle in a very unsafe, a very dangerous way? What would your prediction be then?
That I think he's going to fall over, or he's going to have an accident.
Yeah.
I see the evidence, so my prediction is based on his drunken state. Something bad is going to happen.
So you might say he's going to fall off. He's going to fall off the bike.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Going to. So going to, prediction with evidence. Will, prediction with no evidence. But hold on, listeners, if only that was the whole story and there was nothing more, great. But as I told you, it's complicated. We also have going to for plans. Craig's plan is that he is going to stay with his friend in Australia, in Sydney. He's going to stay. It's a plan. However, we can use will for other things apart from predictions. Imagine we have just arrived in a restaurant and I say, Craig, I think I'll have the fish. What about you?
Well, that's an instant decision. So I might say, well, I look at the menu. Yeah, the fish looks good. I'm not sure, but I haven't had a steak for a long time. I'll have the steak.
Mm-hmm. You will have. So there's will, but it's not a prediction. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, that's for sure. But we use will in our words, I'll have the steak, or I'll have the fish, because it's a spontaneous decision.
A decision not at, really the, at the planned. Moment of speaking.
Yeah, maybe we thought about it for a minute or two, but we didn't plan it before we went into the restaurant. That is will for spontaneous decisions, not really planned in advance. Compare that to Craig's holiday in a few months in Australia. He's going to stay. It's planned. Mm-hmm. So that's going to. Spontaneous will.
So what are you doing this evening?
Ah, what am I doing? What am I doing? Sounds like a present continuous.
But do you know what you're doing? Or haven't you decided yet?
I know what I'm doing. Listeners, we haven't gone crazy. We know we told you present continuous, things happening now. But Craig says, what are you doing this evening? Oh, have we gone crazy? No, we haven't. Present continuous can also be for the future. He's asking me about my future plans this evening. You can say going to, or you can use present continuous. This evening, Craig, I'm watching TV because I feel tired. That's my plan.
You're not going out.
I'm staying in and I'm watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
I've planned that.
Many Spanish speakers would ask that question with will. Many Spanish speakers would say, what will you do tonight?
Well, they're wrong. Yeah. People can understand them. Yeah, yeah, we understand. It's future, but it's not
will. Will, but it's not expecting a planned answer, expecting an arrangement. How do you say arrangement?
No, very good question, Craig. I was talking to an advanced class about this just the other
making
day.
Making arrangements.
It depends. There are different ways of translating it. I would say...
Compromiso?
Algo quedado. That's my way of explaining
algo
it.
Algo quedado.
Algo quedado. Because it's not exactly the same as a plan. A plan is un plan. That's easy. But an arrangement is algo en que habéis o has quedado.
Yeah, that's true. So if you decide to stay at home and rest... No has quedado con alguien. It's not an arrangement. It's just, it's a plan, but it's not an arrangement.
Well, he quedado en hacer eso. Yeah. But, Craig, I could use going to. Tonight I'm going to stay in, and tonight I'm going to watch TV at home. That's as equally valid as tonight I'm staying in, and tonight I'm watching TV at home. Very often we can use either going to with infinitive or just present continuous. Because what's the difference between a plan and an arrangement? The truth is, not much. Not much. They're often interchangeable. Often.
But would you? Do you think you would use the present continuous more than going to?
No, I don't. I think we mix them around without really thinking much about it. What about you?
I might use present continuous more, especially with the verbs go and come for some reason. I wouldn't say going to go. It's just too many goes. Mm-hmm. And maybe the present continuous is shorter, it's easier, because there's only one verb.
Okay. Out of pure laziness.
Out of laziness.
It's much easier to say, I'm going to Barcelona tomorrow, rather than I'm going to go to Barcelona. Yeah, maybe out of laziness we do.
And it's easier to say I'm staying home and not I'm going to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, you could use either. It doesn't really matter. Just one thing that when you say going to, it's usually pronounced gonna.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay home.
I'm gonna stay home. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that.
Again, because we're lazy.
Yeah.
Yep. One important thing, though, Craig, very important. I said very often going to or present continuous. It doesn't really matter which one you use. However, there is a case in where it is very important. What about this? Imagine I am a university student, right? Now, I'm studying medicine now. I say to you, yes, in the future, I'm going to be a doctor. That's my future plan, right? I'm going to be a doctor. I cannot say I'm being a doctor.
Oh,
aha.
Yeah. Yeah.
I must use going to.
Yeah.
I cannot use the present continuous. Why not?
I think you're going to tell us.
I think you're right. That's a good prediction, Craig. There's clearly evidence. The reason is to be a doctor is not an action. It is a state.
A stative verb.
Yep. Hmm. Stative verb. Verbo de estado. Spanish. Mm-hmm. Not action verb. Verbo de acción. If you are talking about a future plan using a state verb, not an action verb, a state verb, verbs such as to be typically, or the normal use of to have, or certain uses of to think, to feel, to believe. You cannot use a present continuous. You must use going to. I'm going to be a doctor. Or another one. I feel a bit strange. I don't feel too good. I think I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick. Not I'm being sick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be sick.
Because I'm being sick would be now, at this moment.
Right now, exactly. Or another one is...
the senses, for example, like smelling, hearing, seeing.
Exactly, the senses. Because they are states. Right. They are not actions. And state verbs, verbos de estado, are often called, as you said, stative verbs. They must go with going to for future plans, not present continuous. Apart from that, normal action verbs, it doesn't really matter if you use going to or present continuous, I don't think.
Right, okay.
You just, out of laziness, might prefer present continuous.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to talk about is timetables. So imagine I'm looking at a timetable and it says in Spanish, tren, salir a Barcelona, las cinco. I would say in English, oh, the train leaves for Barcelona at 5 o'clock. It leaves at 5 o'clock. Leaves. Present simple.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the future. Now it's 2 o'clock and the train leaves at 5 o'clock. So it's going to happen in the future. But because I'm referring to the timetable, it's typical in English, like in Spanish, to use a present simple.
So it would be more common to say the train leaves at 6 than the train's leaving at 6.
More common, although you can use a present continuous. Craig, do you remember what I said right at the beginning? I said,
difficult.
Future in English, not at all easy. Yeah. Very complicated. There are subtle differences. It's perfectly okay and good English to say, the train's leaving at 5 o'clock.
Or the train's going to leave at 5.
The train's going to leave. Or the train leaves. Look at that. Three different ways of saying it.
The train will be leaving.
All of those are correct.
But that's for another episode.
But it depends how the speaker is considering the action. If I'm referring to the timetable says that. Oh, I should have said, listeners, timetable is horario, in case you don't know. The timetable says that the train leaves at 5 o'clock. The train leaves according to the timetable. But Craig correctly said, oh, the train's leaving at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The train is leaving, present continuous, because that's the arrangement, that's the plan. So it depends how you look at it.
Absolutely.
It's complicated. I wish we could say there's only one way for each situation and that's it, but I'm afraid it's very ambiguous.
I think it's a good idea to, we'll come back to this topic of future and speaking about the future in another episode, and we will look at other ways of speaking about the future, because it is a complicated area.
And by the way, Craig has said we will come back to this, will, because it's definite. Something which will definitely happen in the future
also
is will.
Also, I just decided now.
It's spontaneous.
A decision at the moment of speaking. We'll do this in a later.
You could look at it two ways. Spontaneous will, or another use of will is for something which will definitely happen. There's no doubt. It's not a prediction. It's not a plan. It will definitely happen. That's also will. I told you it was ambiguous.
The sun will rise tomorrow.
Yep.
Moving on to Vocabulary Corner. And this week, Reza, I'd like to look at the vocabulary connected to restaurants, because I know that you like going to restaurants. Do you have a favourite restaurant in Valencia, Reza? A restaurant that you like to go to?
Well, Craig, old Mansión Inglés veterans, I hope, will remember Casa Botella.
Ah, Casa Botella. Ah,
and the famous YouTube video you made of a day in the life of an English teacher. And you filmed me, did you not, in Casa Botella.
I did. And you can find that video at YouTube/La Mansión del Inglés, where I also filmed you in Russafa Market buying vegetables.
That's right. So I would say my favorite restaurant in Valencia is Casa Botella in Calle Pintor Salvador. Abril. Rafa, if you're listening, surely that's worth 20 euros.
Or a free tapa.
A free tapa or something. Una cerveza, hombre.
We'll have to visit Rafa soon and have some of his excellent, excellent food. So let's say you wanted to go to Casa Botella in Russafa, Valencia, and you wanted to reserve a table before you went. What expression would you use for reserva la mesa?
If you were very formal, you might say reserve, but most people would say to book, I think.
Yeah.
To book a table.
To book a table. So you'd phone up and you'd say, I'd like to book a table. I'd like to book a table for four, for example. And imagine you're in Casa Botella. How would you ask in English for the menu or for the wine list?
The menu. Oh, you're trying to trick me, aren't you, Craig? You're trying to trick me. He's smiling. Listeners, if only you could see, he's smiling like a little devil. He wants me to say menu, but it's not. The menu is la carta. I'm not falling for that trick, Craig. The menu is la carta.
Yeah, la carta. So the menu or the wine list is la carta de vinos. But what I was trying to get from you was, in English, how would you ask for it? For example, what polite expression would you use in a situation where you want the wine list or you want the menu from the waiter?
If I wanted the menu, I would say, could I see the menu, please? Or could I have a look at the menu, or could I have a look at the wine list, please?
Okay.
What about you? Any other suggestions?
I would. Do you think there's a difference between could and can? Is it more polite to say could I than can I?
I think slightly more polite. Yeah. Could is slightly more polite. Although can is by no means rude.
But remember, listeners, a very important thing about being polite in English is the intonation. So if you have the correct intonation, I don't think it matters too much whether you use can or could. So a polite expression would be, can I have the menu? So the voice goes up. Can I have the menu, please? Or could I have the menu, please? Or could I see the wine list? So the voice goes up, which makes you sound more polite.
And Craig, after you've had a look at the menu or the wine list and you know what you want, what might you say to the waiter?
I'll have the fish.
Okay, yep, I know. Okay. Craig, imagine you've had a good look at the menu and the wine list and you know what you want now. How will you indicate this to the waiter?
I'd say, we're ready to order. We're ready to order.
Okay.
Or, we'd like to order now.
Okay, so to order. In Spanish, pedir.
To order. We'd like to order. And the three courses that you usually have in a restaurant, the first course, you could say starter. So for a starter, I'll have, or for the first course. Plato principal.
The main course.
And postre.
Dessert, pudding, sweet.
Be careful of the spelling and the pronunciation of dessert, and don't confuse it with desierto, which is desert. Desert, desierto, has the stress on the first syllable and one S, desert. But in a restaurant, you ask for dessert with the stress on the second syllable, dessert.
And double S.
And double S. And when you've finished, what do you ask for?
If you're British or Irish, the bill.
Correct.
And if you're American?
The check.
Right.
So, could I have the bill, please, or could I have the check, please? And if you're very happy with the food and the service, dejas una propina.
A tip.
You leave a tip.
How much do people tip in the UK, Craig? In the UK?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, people I know would possibly tip between 5 and 10%.
Yeah.
I know it's higher in the US. In the US, it's more like 10%. 15, maybe sometimes 20%. It's more of a custom in the US. In the UK, people usually tip if they're very happy with the food, if they're very happy with the service. And in Spain, I think it's even less common to leave a tip. I think it depends.
Craig, do you always tip in the UK?
No. I usually tip if I'm happy with the service and happy with the food, then I'll tip. Usually between 10, maybe 15% if I'm very happy. Okay. What about you?
Same as you, only if I'm happy. If not, no.
Okay, moving on. Reza, do you have any phrasal verbs for us this week?
Yes, I wanted to talk about phrasal verbs with two prepositions. Phrasal verbs con dos particulares. For example, very important phrasal verb, very common, is look forward to.
Ah, look forward to.
Look forward to.
Are you looking forward to anything at the moment?
I'm looking forward to my Easter break.
So am I. I'm looking forward to this weekend. So how would you translate look forward to in tengo ganas?
Tener ganas de hacer algo.
Algo en el futuro.
O estás esperando algo.
Tener ilusión.
Tener ilusión por de algo. Que pase algo. Yeah, in the future something's going to happen. Look forward, so it's going to happen in the future.
Mira,
for example,
mirar hacia adelante.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my birthday party. I'm looking forward to my birthday party. Preposition to, Craig. Where yes. does it go?
It goes after forward.
Yep. So I'm looking, then forward, then to, and then the object, my birthday mm-hmm. party. You cannot separate the two prepositions, forward and to. They can't be separated. Right. They must stay together. When there are two prepositions, they usually stay together.
And if look forward to is followed by a verb, the verb is always a gerund, un gerundio, as it always is after prepositions.
Yes.
For example, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I'm looking forward to going to the beach on Saturday. I'm looking forward to having a holiday at Easter.
Mm-hmm. And or a very typical thing which you write at the end of a job application letter. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, and it can be used to finish almost any letter. I'm looking forward to getting your reply. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the airport, anything. Mm-hmm. But remember the gerund.
And don't separate the two prepositions, forward and to. Mm-hmm. As another example, here's a verb with two prepositions. To get away with something.
Get away with something.
I think we saw that a few months back in a previous episode. It means if you get away with something, you do something and you are not punished for it. Maybe it was illegal, maybe it was bad, something you shouldn't have done, but you did it and you were not punished. For example, the bank robbers got away with £50,000.
They escaped.
They escaped with no punishment. There I used £50,000 as my object. I could have used a verb. They got away with robbing the post office. As you say, after a preposition, for example, with, the verb you use must be ing. They got away with robbing the post office. So, get plus away plus with away plus with together. You can't separate them. We can't put with at the end of the sentence or any other strange place. Get away with plus a noun or an ing, and don't separate the two prepositions. So be careful if it's a phrasal verb with two prepositions.
I hope I'll be able to get away with not working tomorrow.
I hope so. Well, Craig, that's all I've got on phrasal verbs for today.
Okay, thank you very much. And that's all we have time for this episode. So thank you very much for listening. And don't forget to give us a review and a few stars on iTunes. No olvidéis darnos estrellas y una pequeña reseña en iTunes. Thank you for listening. And we hope to see you in the next episode. Bye for now.
See you then.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org. Si quieres mandarnos un comentario sobre este podcast o una pregunta sobre la gramática, la pronunciación o el vocabulario de inglés, mándanos un email a mansionteachers@yahoo.es.